Good morning, everyone. This morning we begin a roughly 30-day journey through the book of Romans. What a significant season within this journey we're going to be in and taking in this book. For those of you who do not know, we are in a three-year journey going through every chapter of the Bible. We call it Revering the Word. There's a website for it called reveringtheword.com that has the schedule that we're on in going through the Bible. And I am teaching one chapter a day, every day, for 3 years. There's a couple days where there's two chapters in order to finish this journey in a three-year period. But we find ourselves amidst that now in the book of Romans, and what a significant and important book it is. First off, the Apostle Paul was originally a Jew who, when Jesus came and died and rose again and began Christianity, Paul was not physically present in Jesus's life at that time, from what we know, and he resisted the spread of Christianity. The Christianity is a fulfillment of Judaism, but it's also a transformation of Judaism. It's built on the same foundation. Jews and Christians share the same Old Testament. But many things in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus, and Paul was resistant. He did not want to see people become Christian because they were leaving Judaism and he had not yet embraced Christ. And in fact, Paul was one of the leaders of the persecution of Christians in the early church, and even received a letter of authority in order to arrest people who were proclaiming the Christian religion. Paul was a very zealous Jew, a Pharisee, meaning he was a legalistic Jew, but he also knew Judaism very well. And one day in his life of persecuting Christians, God met Paul on the road to Damascus and shined a bright light and said to Paul, "Paul, Paul," his name was Saul at the time, "why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" It was like, I think something dropped in, you know, Saul's throat, because he realized that Jesus was talking to him and that what he was doing in persecuting followers of Jesus was rose again. And that's a reason to believe in him, by the way. And, you know, so many people saw him. You know, his apostles saw him come back to life. Over 500 people saw Jesus alive again after he was dead. And, you know, praise God for that. Praise God for that eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. According to the Spirit of Holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the way, God wants us to be holy as he is holy. And that's something that we're going to see as a purpose in this book and really of the Bible. And it'll come out right here. Paul, in these first six verses, is sharing with us the purpose of his letter. And we're going to see it in a moment here. He says, "The Spirit of Holiness, Jesus Christ the Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship." So God's grace is an amazing thing. It's his power. It's his Holy Spirit. It's the gifts God's given us. It's his mercy. And he's saying we've received this grace and the authoritative position of apostleship. We've received this from Jesus. Why? So why did we receive this grace from God? Why did Paul receive this authoritative apostleship, this call in his life to proclaim the gospel? And why is he writing this letter? Well, here it is. To bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, and another way to translate that would be nations, for his name's sake, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ. Now that is a magnificent and important statement. He's like, we've received grace, God's grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. Do you know what really God is after? He's after that we would understand the gospel, the good news, that Jesus came to die to save us from our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead, and now Jesus has delivered to us through his apostles his word. And what he is desiring of us is that we would have faith in Jesus, and that as a result of faith, it would lead to our obedience, that we would live obediently to Jesus Christ, to the word of God, that we would follow God obediently because of our faith in him. And who is the desire? All nations, all Gentiles. You know, that's a massive word that, you know, because we didn't grow up Jewish, most of us, and we didn't grow up in the Old Testament where God had a special family, and that special family was Abraham's family, which became known as Israel, because Abraham, Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And that family became known as the Israelites, and that was God's special chosen family. Well, now God's bringing about faith, and he's wanting us to have obedience among all nations. That's a massive statement he's saying. He's saying it's no longer just for Israel. It's no longer just for Jews. This gospel, this good news about coming to faith in Jesus and being obedient to him is for everyone. And that's new, and praise God that, you know, here I am in Wisconsin of the United States. I'm not a Jew, I'm not an Israelite, but I've been grafted into the family of God now through faith, and this gospel has made itself known to me on this side of the world, and to those, my son, you know, right now, one of them is in Japan on a missions trip, proclaiming the gospel. The gospel's being known all throughout the world, all throughout the nations, and not just to Jews, but to Gentiles, to anyone who's willing to place their faith in Jesus, and he's trying to bring about us having faith and then being obedient to God because of that faith. And now Paul says in verse 7, now, actually, before I finish that, I want to share with you that at the very end of this letter, in Romans 16, the last chapter of the letter, if we go to the last few verses, because what I just read to you is really the purpose statement of this book, and this is what it says in verse 26 and 27 of Romans, the last two verses of the book. "But now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations." That's, again, big deal. He's saying this is now going out to all the nations, "leading to obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen." So Paul begins his letter with the purpose and ends with the purpose. that this gospel is being made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. And that's what Paul's after. And, you know, I hope that inspires and encourages and challenges you today. Are you living obediently to the faith? Are you, because of faith in Jesus, saying, you know what, I want to honor him, I want to please for him, I want to live for him, and I trust in God's word and the guidance that it's given me, and God wants me, and it's going to be in my best interest too. You know, it's a blessed life, living for the Lord. But that's what he's calling you to. He's calling you to faith in Jesus. And then once you have faith in Jesus, to learn about him, to grow in your knowledge. And I'm glad you're listening to this, so that you can grow in your knowledge and understanding of the word, and then learn to live in honor of the one who died for you. Hallelujah. All right, to all those beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that God, that Jesus came to give you peace with God? Did you know that my sin would separate me from God, and I would not have peace with God because my sin would be in the way? But Jesus Christ came to die on that cross, to take the sin that separated me from God upon himself, so that we could have peace with God. But in order to understand that we need Jesus to have peace with God because Jesus took our sin, we need to know we're sinners. We didn't know, listen, every person in this universe has a sin problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And one of the things that Paul is going to try to do in the remainder of this letter, or remainder of this chapter right now, is to say, listen, world, listen, people of the world, all of us, we have a sin problem. We all have sinned, and you can't escape that. Our goodness is not going to get us to heaven. And that's what Paul's going to illustrate. He's going to begin to share with us the bad news, that we have a problem with sin, and we need a solution to that problem. Let's keep going. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because of your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. So Paul has heard about the Roman church and Christian church, and that it's expanding, but he's wanting to make sure they have a proper understanding of the gospel. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how I unceasingly make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. And eventually he is going to come to them. But Paul cared so much about planting churches throughout the world that he prayed. He's like, God, help me. Help this church in Rome. Prepare them for this letter. Make them strong in the faith. He cared deeply about seeing churches planted in the world, and he prayed. So, for I long to see you. He's hoping he's going to make it there, and indeed, we have a record of our Bible that he did end up making it there as a prisoner, and then he actually got out of prison for a while, and then ended up getting imprisoned again in Rome, and ultimately lost his life there. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. He's hoping to further them in the journey of faith. But as he says that, he's probably not trying to sound prideful. So then he says in verse 12, that is, that I may